Says, hi, well, and welcome to the Fragile X Dad and Mom podcast. Today is just me, Mom, Erica, and with us is a special guest, Kristen Fowler. She's the author of a brand new book that was just released this month for the month of July. The title is Family, Faith, and Fragile X. And here she is today with us to tell us all about it, her family, her faith, and of course, Fragile X. So welcome, Kristen.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you're having me here today. I really appreciate it. So yeah, as you said, my book has come out. It came out July 1st, kind of in that celebration for Fragile X Awareness Month here in July. And I'm just really excited to finally have it out there. And as we were talking before, I'm very open in my book. That's the reason why the subtitle is The Raw Story, because I'm very open. And so I talk about, well, just what the title says, my family and my faith and Fragile X, of course. So I have four kids, and the youngest three have Fragile X syndrome. And then my oldest is my daughter, Millie, and she does not have Fragile X, and she's also not a carrier. So that's been a really big help, actually, in our family. We live in Utah, and I actually have an older sister who also has three kids with Fragile X syndrome as well. So when we get together for parties, it's quite fun.
I bet.
Yeah. But I also feel very blessed because we are a very close family, and I feel like we understand each other and we help each other through the tough times. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
That is so interesting that you I also have a sibling with Fragile X. My brother has Fragile X. So me and my mom, I feel like we have this connection.
Oh yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, we understand each other when we can't make it to stuff, or when yes. We have a gathering, we know that it's okay if somebody runs around naked.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
You know, at any point, someone might or may or may not run around naked, and that's okay.
Yes. That happens with my son, Isaac. He's usually naked at least once during our family get-togethers.
Yes. And
everybody just like, oh, hey, Kirsten, you need to get your son, you know? Like, oh, okay.
You're like, okay, I'll help. I know it's, so yeah, I totally connect with that as well.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that has kids with Fragile X. Well, I'm the only one in my side of the family that has kids with Fragile X, except for my brother. And then my husband's side, no one really has kids with kind of disabilities, I would say, like diagnosed disabilities. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, in my family, a lot of stuff is seen as typical, like they don't talk, whatever, like you can't hug my kid, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not, we see it as a norm.
Yes. So there's like an understanding there for
yeah.
sure.
I think that's pretty interesting. So then I also have my daughter who also has Fragile X, and I'm expecting my third.
So oh, then okay.
I felt like the book was kind of like interesting. I'm like, oh my gosh, she has four kids. I have four kids. Well, I'm going to have four kids as well, because I have my stepson who's the oldest. Uh-huh. And then I have my two biological kids, and then I'm going to have the third one, and it's a girl.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm like, I'm right there.
Yeah. So you're right there with me.
Yeah. And it was pretty nice. I was like, we needed, I kind of did have, I know you mentioned in your book on the introduction, I mean, I think it was on the, at the beginning when the diagnosis was, it was kind of hard to share something, you know, so raw.
Yeah.
And to put it in a book, because sometimes you get like PTSD from sharing.
Yeah.
Like going back and reliving those moments.
Oh yeah.
And I totally understood that, because when I started reading your book, I was like, oh, should I read it right now? Like, is it the right time?
Yeah, when you're pregnant.
Yes, I'm like, I'm so emotional, and like emotions come in and out, and like, am I ready? But then I felt like it was just what I needed. Like I needed, you know, I just needed to connect. I think at the time, like families can totally connect, not just when they're pregnant, but just in their journey throughout Fragile X. when they're reading the book. So I thought that was pretty neat. That I was like, I was kind of like, I don't want to get PTSD, like start remembering stuff and like,
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. There's some pretty rough stuff in my book, and I'm very open. But I also, I'm so glad that you're finding a way to connect, because that was my real purpose, is to, you know, connect with others and make sure that, you know, you don't feel alone in all of this. So I'm glad. I'm glad that you're reading it.
Yeah, it was pretty. I was telling my husband about it because he's not a big reader. He's kind of like, read it first and then give me the cliff notes, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you could read it too. But he's like, oh my God, that sounds like us. Like, we can connect. And I always tell him, like, I think that the thing about like connecting with other families who have similar struggles to yours is that you always find like a sense of peace. Like, you always find like, not closure, but you can relate. You feel like you're not alone in this world.
And that's a huge thing, not to feel alone, because I think we feel alone a lot in our, you know, in our lives with this, you know, with Fragile X. And because sometimes, you know, we can't do all of the things that typical families can do, and we start to feel that loneliness. But to realize that there's so many other people out there that totally understand what we're going through, it just helps you feel, it just makes you go, ah, okay, like, this is okay. This is normal, you know?
Yeah. I totally see that. I'm like, I see that with ourselves. I mean, we're part of like other groups of families with Frederick. So it's always nice to have that. And then, cause a lot of the times, like when my son first got diagnosed, my son got diagnosed when he was like 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's 7 years old now and my daughter's 10.
Okay. And
so it's kind of like, it's been a while and it's always like, you know, you don't really find Fragile X families around the corner.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I'm like, they're not very common. I remember when my son got diagnosed, our geneticist was like, oh, you know, well, there's a family. I think they're like, you know, kind of close. They're in California, though, because I'm in California.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, I think there's one more family. But, I mean, they were just kind of like, you know, he was just kind of like trying to give me a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
And then also telling me how rare it is that there's only like a handful of families that he can count with his fingers.
Oh my goodness.
So I was kind of scared. I was like, what do you mean? Like, there's nobody else? And he's like, well, this is my first patient that I've diagnosed with Fragile X. And I was like, okay.
You're like, I have a lot of confidence in you.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, but you're so old and you've been in this career for how many years and you only diagnosed one? Like, that's crazy.
I know. It is. It's just really crazy because Fragile X is so, it is actually more common than people realize. And so I think when I hear like doctors that don't know anything about it, I'm always like, what? How can you not know? You know?
Yeah.
I think we rely a lot on doctors. In fact, I talk about that in my book, just my different experiences with doctors for my health and also for my kids. And, you know, I came to a realization that they don't know everything.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like a wake-up call, like, oh, they don't know everything. Oh, dang it. Like,
yeah, I think because you grow up like, with the idea embedded in you that like doctors are experts and they know, they have all the answers to everything. And then you go into something like Fragile X and you're like, if you don't have the answers, you don't know nothing.
Yeah. And you end up teaching. It's different for sure.
Everything becomes like a teaching experience. I noticed that now, that I'm having my third baby and like, I actually know that I have Fragile X, whereas when I was pregnant with my other two kids, I didn't know I was a carrier.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of interesting that now I go in and I tell like the OBs, like, hey, I have Fragile X. And they look at me like so scared. And, you know, and they're like, why are you so calm? Like, why aren't you freaking out? I'm like, I have two kids at home with Fragile X. Like, it's fine. And then they're so worried and they want to do all this treatment. I mean, all this testing. And I'm just like, it's okay. Like, I'm okay. Like, we don't have to do it. I already know about it. Like, and you have to sit there and advocate for yourself.
Yeah. And do what you feel is right and what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and sometimes you have to like, be like, okay, well, I don't think you're going to get the right doctor for me because we don't have the same views.
Yeah. And it's really such a personal thing for everybody, which is another thing that I talk about in my book, because I share my experiences with having kids naturally. And because I actually knew I was a carrier before I had any of my kids and still chose to go forward. And, you know, and everybody's just so different on their views on that topic. And I just feel like, you know, we're all in this together. We all have different experiences and backgrounds, and we're all just here to support each other. You know, whatever happens, whatever decisions, we just love each other in this community and are rooting for each other. So I think that's really important.
I thought that was really interesting as well. The fact that you knew so young, because when we told our daughter, mm-hmm. she was still pretty small. And then, like, I don't think she understood, like, what it meant.
Yeah. I'm at this point with my daughter, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, how do I explain this so she understands? I mean, and my daughter, well, she's full mutation as well as my son. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to, like, make her understand. And I felt like sometimes, you know, it took a lot of, repeating myself. You know, we told her when we first found out, I think she was maybe 5 when we found out that my son had Fragile X, because she got diagnosed shortly after. And then, like, we told her what you would tell, like, a 5-year-old. And then every year we kept kind of telling her a little bit more. And now she's going to be, she's going to be 11. And now I feel like she understands a little bit more. But it's sometimes for her, I feel like it's confusing a little bit, just because she sees my brother. And mm-hmm. she sees, you know, she sees her brother, and then she kind of like, she's like, well, you know, why do I have the, like, why? Sometimes her questions is like, I think one of the hardest questions for me as a mom was the fact that she was confused. She was like, well, why do I get to talk and they don't?
Oh, yeah. It's so interesting, the differences between males and females. Like, so I have... Yeah. Two daughters and a son, and my daughters are much more high functioning, and my son, you know, he's much more severe. And I think it does get confusing when I try to tell my older daughter, she's 6 now. Yeah. I just don't think she comprehends, because she looks at Isaac, my son,
yeah,
you know, she sees others with it, and she's like, how is that the same as what I have? You know, I can just see people brain working. But there's such a huge, spectrum. Yeah. Just a huge spectrum of function for each of these kids.
It I know for my daughter, what we ended up doing is I took her to like a Fragile X race.
Oh, yeah.
Where she was able to kind of see like other kids with Fragile X, like, and just to see how big of a spectrum they are.
Yeah.
And it was helpful. And she even did a clinical trial with nothing but girls with Fragile X. So I think that was helpful for her, just so she can connect with, you know, adults who have Fragile X and kids who have Fragile X, like the same kind of functioning as her. Because she was just confused, because then she was like, you know, her question was always like, well, it's not fair. Like she thinks it's like a fairness thing, like, well, why does God do this to me but not to them? And then we struggle with our faith just in that case, mm-hmm. just because she's kind of like, well, life isn't fair, like, you know, they should be able to do this and that. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, but like, and then now she understands a little bit more because she's getting older, mm-hmm. and she's like, okay, well, you know, my brother may not talk, but man, he is loud. He can get his needs met, like,
yeah,
no other person in the room, and
right,
like, he makes it loud and clear, because she struggles with social anxiety, like, mm-hmm. and the shyness, which is very typical with Fragile eggs.
Yes.
And we're working on it, and we work on it, and she goes, sometimes I wish I was like Emmett, my son. And she's like, uh-huh. because he's not shy, like, he doesn't care if he's naked around people, he doesn't right? care, like like, you know, he doesn't care if like people hear him scream. Like, he goes, and I care, like, I care a lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting that she's seeing those differences.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how they start growing and they start seeing those little things. And then they start realizing, like, okay, you know, we both have Fragile X, we're so different. We're so unique. It makes us, I told her, I was like, well, it makes you very unique. It makes you, you know, special in your own way. You see the world a lot more different than the way I see the world, you know, the way your cousins see the world and things like that. I was like, you have the patience of an angel.
Yeah, I was just going to say, she sounds so sweet to be considering her brother and how unfair, you know, like, that's just really sweet. She's viewing that. And when you brought up about how, you know, why is God doing this? It's so unfair. I think, I mean, I'm Christian and I talk about it in my book. And I think getting these diagnoses of Fragile X, it can kind of bring that question up a lot, is like, why? You know, why is this happening? This is so unfair. You know, all of these different things. And you kind of, at some point, you probably get angry with God, you know, and you have to work through those things. It's a really interesting thing to work through as somebody of, you know, a certain faith or Christianity, to be like, okay, how does this align with what I believe, and how can I still believe even though this is so hard?
I think that, I mean, I struggled with it as an adult, so then when I hear her say things like that sometimes, and like, I remember for like 2 years straight, her wish was for her brother to like talk to her, and I was just like, oh my God, like, it crushes my soul every time she, like, every birthday she's like, well, I wish my brother would do like this. And then it was just kind of like, oh, like, because she had this vision, and I felt like she needed to go through that process that we as parents go through. Like, you know, we go through grieving, we go through all those, like, processing the diagnosis.
Yeah.
And she needed to go through it as, you know, as herself. Like, and it's hard because she's just a kid, and she has to go through the fact that, you know, she had all these expectations of her sibling, and then, like, and she had, and then she also has to know that, you know, she also has Fragile X syndrome. So it's kind of a lot to take in. And I'm like, well, it's just the process, hon. Like, you know, we have open conversations with her and things like that. And she's so good in understanding. But I'm like, I know, I feel it. I know. And sometimes it's okay, like, not to have the answers. Like,
yeah,
like, I don't have the answers to everything. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Like, my kids used to, like, ask me every year, like around Emmett's birthday, they would just be like, especially like our 18-year-old, the oldest, he's never really seen a disability. Like, he's never seen someone with a disability. So his brother was like kind of the first one. So he struggled hard. Like, he was just kind of like, oh my God, like, why is he screaming like that? What? And a lot of the time, you don't have the answers. You don't know why they're sensory overloaded. Like, you don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I didn't have the answers to none of that, or like, why he can't do this, or why isn't he going to the potty, or why, like, all these questions. And then they would bombard me with all these questions, and then I'm like, I don't know. Like, I simply just don't know. Like, we'll just see how it goes throughout the years and see. And now they just kind of, not giving up, but they're just kind of like accepted.
Yeah.
They reach the level of acceptance where they're like, okay, like, we have to leave, it's fine.
Yeah, which is huge. It's a big deal to have that acceptance. And I think even my daughter still struggles to, you know, I mean, when we're out and about and having fun and we have to leave early, she's not super happy about it, right?
Mm-hmm. But
come to that point where she's like, okay, I understand, and is able to process it a little bit better. But still, it's hard. And I remember when she was, I think she was 9 probably at the time. She's 11 right now. And she would just pray every night that, you know, her brother would be able to grow up and get married and, you know, do all the things that she could do. And it would break my heart because she wanted it so bad. And I just had to explain to her that this is, you know, this is the way that God made Isaac. And he's supposed to be this way. He makes everybody happy. He, you know, he makes such a good impact on so many people's lives, and we love him, you know, just the way he is. And, you know, but I think it still makes her sad, that knowing that he won't be able to do certain things that she's going to be able to do.
Yeah, it's hard. Our life's hard, but I mean, it's worth it. I feel like, I mean, now that they can, well, like she's able to communicate with her brother like a lot better. It helps because now she's like, good. I always know what he wants. Like, I always know. And I'm like, how do you know? He's like, I just do. Like, he doesn't have to tell me.
Right? I feel like they have a special connection. Like, my youngest daughter, who also has Fragile X, she always knows what Isaac is saying, even when I don't. I'm like, oh, okay, you know what he wants. That's really great. Like, I'm glad you have this connection.
Yeah, it's very helpful.
It is very helpful. And I think even with that, as a carrier, I feel like I'm able to understand my kids a little bit better than most people because, you know, I feel that anxiety. I feel that those deep connections, I think we're all like empaths. Like, we really can feel a lot deeper than I think most people do. And so I feel like it's kind of a curse and a blessing, but know kind of how your kids are feeling. You get like a teeny bit of a view, right?
Yeah, you always get like those glimpses. I feel like I see them with my daughter sometimes and with my son too. Like, you always get those little glimpses of what they might be needing at the time. I'm like, I don't know how. It's just, my husband's like, how do you know that they need? I'm like, I don't know. It just happens. Like, it's magic.
Right.
It's the carrier magic. I'm like, I don't know. It's just like, when they're so frustrated, he's like, how did you know they wanted that? Like, my son, he hates, like, when he's upset. He mm-hmm. hates, like, for you to try to, like, calm him down by hugging him or, you know, or speaking to him. Like, he'll slap you across the face if you start talking.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
So he hates it, but then there's times where, like, I mean, he does need it. Like, he wants it. Like, he puts my hand over his face. Like, he wants me to just be in the background, be next to him. Like, that's just comforting for him. And my husband's like, but how do you know when to do it and when not to do it?
Yeah, it's like we have this special sense. It's like,
yeah.
I like how you said the magic carrier. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
The carrier magic.
The carrier magic, yeah. I'm like, I don't know. It's just like my heart tells me.
Yeah, it's kind of like the mom sense, but like up a notch or something. I don't know.
Yeah, see, it's always interesting. My husband's like, I don't know. I always like, because he's like, I don't know when to do it. So, I mean, I'm going to be the one that gets hit across the face when I do it and it's the wrong time.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I think everybody in my family's probably been smacked here and there. And, you know, it gets tough sometimes when they get frustrated or are having a meltdown. It can get kind of scary sometimes. But then other times they're just like the sweetest and they just want to snuggle. You know, it's just interesting. They're very, like, depending on their mood, just like all of us. But yeah. I feel like theirs are a little bit more extreme, you know?
Yeah, there's like, I always tell my husband, I was like, oh, my God, this kid is, like, sweet and sour. Like, nothing in between, just either super sweet or super sour.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get each day either.
Yeah, like, my son wakes up sometimes and I'm like, oh, my God. My daughter's very... she's vocal, so sometimes it helps. Like, I feel like it helps a lot just because, you know, she's like, if you wake me up past a certain time, you're gonna get grumpy Amaya. Do you want grumpy Amaya or you want happy? And I'm like, well, I want a happy, so I'm gonna wake you up past, you know, this amount of time because I don't want to see grumpy. I mean, she's she's in touch with her emotions. I mean, we worked on it for a few years now, so I feel like I was like, if you're overwhelmed, like, this is the way we're going to calm down. And, like, you know, you could vocalize your emotions to me. And it helps a lot. I go, but, like, my son, like, we tried, but it just doesn't work the same.
Yeah, it sounds like we're in a similar situation because my daughter, she's able to talk with me and tell me her feelings. But Isaac is, you know, he just doesn't work that way. And he only speaks when he wants something. You know, if he wants to eat something, then he'll say like his little one word.
How old did you say Isaac was?
So Isaac is 9. Okay. And then my daughter, my oldest daughter, Millie, who doesn't have Fragile X, is 11.
Okay.
And then I have a daughter that's 6 and a daughter that's 4.
That's interesting. I'm pretty sure Amaya would get along with Millie because she's very friendly.
Oh, I bet.
She loves me. She loves making friends, and I mean she struggles making friends, but when she does, she has them forever.
Yeah, I've noticed that with my Eliza. She does pretty well making friends with others, whereas, you know, Isaac, he's just happy in his own little world, I think. But I'd really love to connect our daughters, because that would be great. She loves to get to know others in our similar situations, and she loves her siblings. She's just the sweetest.
I feel like they're so caring. Like, they have this.
Yeah. Like, there's something about having these special needs siblings that I feel like gives them a whole new perspective and amount of caring. Because she's just an angel. I always tell her that. I'm like, you're my little angel. And she's so helpful all the time.
They just take on that motherly role. Well, my daughter was like that. I think she was 3 and a half. Like, she was 3 when my son was born.
Uh-huh.
And she was just so helpful. She would make me sandwiches.
Oh, that's so sweet.
She was like, oh, my goodness. And I remember they would ask her, well, they asked her before my son was born, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, in preschool. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I just want to be a big sister.
Oh, that is so sweet.
And I always show her that. She's like, I know. And then I was so scared of, like, when I was pregnant now, because I'm like, well, they've been, you know, just the only children for a while now, and they're older.
Yeah.
And my son's 7. So I was like, oh my God, like, I wonder if she's going to be okay. And because she always, like, said, like, oh, babies are so loud. Like, she struggles with, like, sensory issues. So, like, when babies scream or kids scream, like, she doesn't like that very much.
Yeah.
She doesn't tolerate it very well, and my son doesn't either. So she was just kind of like, oh, I was a little scared. But then I told her right away. She was like, oh my goodness, she took on this, like, caregiving role, like, mom, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, you are so funny. Even my son, I feel like, I mean, in his own way, I mean, yes, he's a little reckless, but I'm like, but he has his moments where, yeah, like, he, you know, he'll put lotion in my stomach, like, he'll kiss my stomach, and I'm just like, okay, like, we're getting there. Like, I have those little glimpses of hopes that I need.
I feel like a lot of that probably comes from your daughter and him watching her do those kinds of things, because I've noticed that with my son. He'll follow his older sister and do things that he does. And I love it. That's so cute that he's like, I'll help you too. You know, like, those are so special. Those moments when you feel like they're there and they're helping, and there's that extra light in their eye, you know, and I don't know. I feel like at those points, you're not worried. You're just so happy that they're your child, you know?
I feel like I had an appointment with a geneticist that was being super pushy to get my baby tested for fragile X.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling her, it's related to this conversation. No, I swear it is. And she was being very pushy. And then I told her, like, I was like, to me, I don't know anything else. Like, I don't know normal. Like, my stepson came into my life when he was older. He was about, like, 8 or 9.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I don't know what it's like to have a normal child. Like, it sounds kind of weird. I go to you, but I don't know what it's like to have a typical child. To me, like, this is my normal. Like, if I have another fragile X baby, I go, like, I'm okay with that. Like, I know there might be feeding difficulties, you know, this and that. And I was like, I don't know. Like, my daughter spoke when she spoke, and my son walked when he walked, and we had to do therapies. I don't know another life away from therapies, away from, like, I don't know a typical life. I think that's scary. Like, I go, for me, what scares me more, and it sounds weird to people, I go, because I've told this to, like, my in-laws and everybody, and they look at me like I'm weird. But, like, to me, I feel like, no, like, a typical life, like, having a typical child is more scary to me than having, you know, another child with fragile X. I go, just because I know fragile X. Like, maybe I don't know this child, if the child has fragile X, I go, but I know, like, the other two kids, and I know that, like, I know what triggers them. I know this and I know that. And if I don't know, they'll help me figure it out.
Yeah.
So, like, I felt, I was like, you're pushing me and pushing me, but, like, it's not going to change my mind. I go, my mind is, like, to me, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, yeah, it would be nice to have a typical child that would have a typical life.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I think that it would be nice for my other kids, you know, to share their unique life and what they do, what they're going to do when they grow up, to have something in common. You know, it sounds weird. I go, it sounds so weird in my mind. I go, but it's just like, to me, it just makes sense. I go, like, when I go to family gatherings and I see typical children, like, I go, before I used to, like, go home and cry, you know, because I was like, oh my God, my kid's never going to do this and that.
Yeah.
But now, like, I tell my husband, now I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm so relieved. Because sometimes I'm like, okay, like, my kid's not asking a million questions, you know? My kid's not doing that. But, like, also, like, I'm like, okay, well, you know, in a way, I'm like, okay, they are very active.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, like, different. Yeah, I mean, there's differences. Since I have my daughter who is, like, a typical child, she has different challenges.
Yeah.
And I have different worries with her than I do with my other kids, for sure. And so, yeah, in some ways, you're like, it is kind of easier because I know that this is Fragile X. I know what to do. I know.
I fear the unknown. Like, that's what I was telling the genetics. Like, I just fear the unknown. And then I did this test where they test for, like, 502 different diseases and syndromes that they could possibly get. And I go, I fear those more than I fear Fragile X.
You're like, because I don't know about those ones.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a whole new, like, a whole new adventure over there. I go, so I do. And I was like, I mean, I fear, like, a typical life too, because they're going to have their own stuff and their own things, like you're saying. I'm like, so it's like, I don't know. I was like, it's either way. I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah. My husband's always saying, you know, if it's not Fragile X, it's something else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I agree with you in that way that, I mean, at least with Fragile X, you know kind of what to expect. So, yeah, I mean, there's positives and negatives either way.
I know.
I talk about in my book with my daughter, my Millie, who's the oldest. I think she has different challenges being the one that doesn't have Fragile X, and all her other siblings do. I think sometimes she kind of feels that, you know, a little bit lonely, or she sees her cousins and their families and thinks, what would my family be like? Or, you know, and I think that's hard, both for, like, it's hard for me to watch, but it's also hard for her. But, you know, on the other hand, she's going to experience challenges that her siblings will never have to. So I think everybody just has their own challenges. And I remember the geneticists always wanting to talk to me about things. And I was kind of the same way. I was like, no, I'm good. Because, like, most of the time when I would meet with people, I would know more about Fragile X than they would anyway. I'm not saying that to be cocky, but
yeah, no.
I just was more aware. And, you know, when you have it in your family, you search and you research and you learn more about it. So
I have years of experience.
Yeah. And then they're over there just being like, no, you shouldn't have kids, or, you know, telling you what to do, or, you know, trying to make you afraid. And you're like, no, that's not what I want. So
I totally agree with that. So how, when did you start writing your book?
Oh, I started writing it, let's see, it's probably been just over a year that I started. And I actually got it done. I got a rough draft done in like 3 months. I whipped it out. And then for months and months after that, there was the editing and the, I keep telling people that writing a book was probably the easiest part for me. Because I love writing, but it's the other part of books, you know, putting it out there and putting yourself out there and getting a cover and getting an editor and all of those other things. And I think being a carrier, I've had a lot of anxiety over it. And I, even putting it out there, I was like, you know, like the whole time, just terrified, because it's not just any book. It's a book about my personal life and all of the struggles, you know, just like ripping off the Band-Aid. Here I am, everyone. And so
it's always scary, but then I feel like it's also like a relief at the same time. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, it has been really rewarding. I mean, there's nothing that I love more than having people tell me that they've read the book and they've connected, and they, you know, even people that don't have Fragile X in their families have been able to connect with different parts in my story. And that just means the world to me, because that's really, like I said before, that's the biggest thing I wanted with my book, is for other people to find connections and feel that they're not alone.
That is, I'm like, you, that is exactly what your book does. I just thought, that's why my husband, I was like, oh my God, like, I always, I don't know, every time I'm struggling, because I struggle with my faith a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think just because I grew up Catholic, and then, I don't know, I've struggled a lot, like, throughout the years, mm-hmm. especially after my kids were diagnosed, like, I struggle. And mm-hmm. I was like, every time I feel like some turbulence in my faith, I go like, God always sends me something, like a little sign that says like, everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Like, and it's interesting, because I'm like, oh my God, like, I started reading your book, and then I'm like, oh my God, like, I know Jesus is always doing this to me, like, he's always sending me little signs. Like, I get it, this is my sign.
Oh good, I'm glad my book was a sign for you.
Yeah, I'm like, it's always like, I don't know, like, every time I doubt myself on a decision, every time, like, I don't know, there's like a sense of, you know, that, you know, God's always like, okay, I'm still here. Like, you made a choice, but like, I always have your back.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. In my book, I talk a lot about my faith and how, like, I think me personally in my life with my faith, there's been so many times that have been so difficult, and I've questioned everything. You know, you just get to that point because there's so many difficult moments with Fragile X. But then you have those little signs that you were talking about, where, you know, God and Jesus Christ are there and just saying, no, I'm here. I know you, and I'm here to help. I haven't left you. Like, you can do this. And then you just, you know, you just get that extra feeling of love from that and go forward. And then I just feel like I can go another day, because sometimes that's all I can do is another day, or sometimes another hour, you know, like, I can move forward this much and just keep going because I feel that love from my Heavenly Father. And there's all of those little signs. There's people all around us that are willing to help and show their love and care for our children and for us.
That sounds great. Yes. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
For joining us and for sharing so much about your family and being able to connect with you and, you know, talk about, you know, our families. That was great.
Yeah, it was so fun getting to know you.
That is so amazing. And so within your book, what can people expect from it, and what would you like to share, you know, like, how to get people motivated to just pick up your book when they go to the bookstore and, you know, and read and things like that?
Yeah, so I feel like my book has a lot of different helpful tidbits. Each chapter is different. I have chapters about diagnoses and early intervention. I talk about respite and caregiving. I talk about what it's like to be a carrier and the different health issues that I struggle with. And I also talk about, you know, church, religion, and that, because that's a huge part. And I feel like there's just a little bit for everyone. Even if, you know, you open this book and you skip around, it's almost kind of like one of those books where you're like, I want to learn about this today, you know? And so you find that chapter and you read about it. And I just hope that people will feel that they're not alone and hopefully get something out of it. Because I did put a lot into this book. It was difficult to write because I did open up a lot, but in doing so, I was hoping to reach other people that have gone through the same thing. And so I just hope that you'll be willing, people out there will be willing to go and pick up the book, give it a try, and, you know, find some hope on their journey and know that I've been there. You know, I haven't been through every single thing that you have, but there's a lot of similarities, and I think we can find that hope and connection within my book. So I really hope that people will head on to Amazon or barnesandnoble.com and be able to grab a copy for themselves.
That sounds great. So that's where you can find your book on Amazon, and you say Barnes and Noble, and you said one other place. Where was it at?
Well, let's see. Right now I've got it on Amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com, and it should be coming out in other online stores as well. So we'll keep you updated.
That sounds amazing. We are so happy for you on behalf of the Fragile X community.
Thank you.
It's so hard to find Fragile X books, and I feel like every time I find one, I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna treasure it with my life.
I know, that's how I felt. So I was like, I want to be a part of this because there's just not enough out there. So I agree.
Yes, and I think anybody will find this book helpful, even families that have kids with autism, because a lot of the services that kids with Fragile X receive, kids with other disabilities receive as well.
Yeah, and my son Isaac actually has a diagnosis of autism too, so there's a lot of similarities there that I talk about in the book.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much for joining us and for allowing us to get to know you and your family and your book. We are so excited for you and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.